Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
And this morning we have got a new commentator on the show. It's Dr. Lara Greaves from the University of Auckland. Lara is of Ngāpuhi, Pākehā and Tarara descent, and she's a lecturer in New Zealand politics and public policy. Kia ora, Lara. Welcome along.
Anna, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. We've got some big topics to dive into this morning. One thing that is happening down in Wellington is the relaunch of Parliament, and we've got two maiden speeches happening today from Ibrahim Omar for the Labour Party and also Arena Williams as well. It is a kind of an interesting time of the year when Parliament relaunches. What are your thoughts around this kind of re-entry back into politics as usual, so to speak?
I think it's been really interesting. So one of the things when I'm teaching a first year class in New Zealand politics is I normally play, it's a slightly old video now of sort of the opening of Parliament, and a lot of them kind of flinch at how colonial the whole ceremonial aspect is. And this time around, it just felt a lot lighter. It felt a lot more like you could hear Waiata in the background. You know, like you could hear sort of just more, it was just the whole vibe or the whole elements, and it just felt a lot more representative and inclusive this time around. So that was really interesting to see, and it was really cool to see 43 of the MPs do their swearing in, their oath, in Te Reo Māori as well. So that was another great thing that to see. And of course, I'm going to be sitting by this week and looking at the sort of opening, the sort of inaugural speeches of these new MPs, given that they are a more representative bunch, and different MPs from a vast variety of backgrounds that we haven't seen before. So that will be really kind of quite refreshing and quite cool to see.
It has been something that we've sort of seen pop up in the media recently, but it's not a new conversation about the whole swearing allegiance to the Crown and that being problematic in a country where, you know, we have Te Tiriti as our founding document, and that's not something that is necessarily acknowledged so explicitly in that space. What are your thoughts around that? I mean, is it something that we should be looking at? Is it part of a bigger conversation? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think someone put it, I can't remember who tweeted it, but tweeted it really well. I think it was probably Ricardo Meneses-Marjo, one of them. I know it was Te Ano Te Ono, the new Green MP. Basically, the whole idea is, it's like if you ask the Queen if people could swear allegiance to Te Tiriti, I'm sure they would say that, I'm sure the Queen and the Crown would be okay with that. So I think that there's this broad acknowledgement that we do need to sort of reinvent some of these sort of aspects of Parliament and our procedure, and that makes things more representative and more inclusive. And I think there's that broad acknowledgement there. I think in all of this, though, and like I think we're quite enthusiastic, and like I'm in a left-wing Auckland bubble, of course, and we're quite enthusiastic about all of this representativeness and inclusion. But it's got me thinking a lot in terms of later parliaments and that potential again of us all going around going, hey, this is really cool, this is representative, this is inclusive, but that potential for culture wars later on and there being right-wing backlash there, that's the kind of thing that's been concerning me about this whole thing. So that's just something that's been on my mind lately in terms of, hey, like, yeah, we're going, yay, representation. What are we going to see sort of from the right in 2026? Because at the moment, I've recently learned that apparently Joseph Mooney, the Southland MP, is Māori as well. So they've got three Māori MPs. They've also got three guys called Chris that bring their literal representation in their caucus. And so that's that thing. I've been sitting here kind of reflecting this week going, what's Parliament going to look like in a couple of terms from now? And like that we do risk having that culture wars happen.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. In terms of the kind of induction of these new MPs and these new representatives, what do maiden speeches normally indicate about how a politician's going to move forward with their career?
I think a maiden speech is a really good opportunity to talk about like where you're from in terms of, you know, potentially your whakapapa, but also like where, like how you've gotten where you've gotten, like what have been sort of significant moments along your journey. I just remember Materia Ture's one being particularly beautiful in terms of talking about the challenges of being wahine Māori and being a solo mum. It gives the public a really good window into like why you have decided to become an MP and what some of the sort of central issues that you might be trying to put forward are. And I think that, again, with this more diverse bunch, it's going to be really interesting to hear their stories and how they've ended up where they've ended up.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about Oranga Tamariki because Andrew Beecroft, the Children's Commissioner, has released the most recent report, and it has been extremely direct in saying that power should be handed over to Māori now. And it's basically an unprecedented report in the way that it has been so explicit and so direct about that. And we've seen Kelvin Davis and also other members of the government, you know, not actually so keen to do that. They're still saying the Crown should be involved. And we've also heard a lot from, you know, major voices within Te Ao Māori as well saying, no, this is very much time to pass this over. What are your thoughts around this, Lara?
I think this is going to be a really tricky one because at the moment 25% of cabinet are Māori. And I think for a long time people have wanted to see, like, the devolution of these power structures and Māori have more power to do the by Māori, for Māori, with Māori solutions. I think the previous government, they had New Zealand First as a handbrake, so they could go, well, Winston Peters and that, they don't want this. But now there's not that handbrake, there's not that barrier, and I think it's going to be really tough for Labour to not do it.
Mm.
And that's one of those things where it's like, you've got this huge mandate, you've still got a huge amount of support in Māori communities, and you've got all of these Māori ministers, so then what are you going to do? And I think that's, they've not been particularly forthcoming with change or with enabling sort of a Māori, by Māori, for Māori system. And I think that if they were going to do anything, they would do it now at this stage in the term. So by the time that the next election rolls around, people have sort of forgotten that they've created this whole other structure. And so it's not looking particularly hopeful. I think the other area where I'll be watching in terms of, there being sort of kaupapa Māori solutions will be around the independent primary Māori health authority and that those developments. But I'm just not particularly hopeful on Oranga Tamariki.
Yes, it's a really big one, that one, isn't it? I did want to talk about another thing, which I know is an area of interest for yourself, but also one of those things that periodically comes into the public conversation and then seems to somehow fizzle away before we hit the next election cycle. It's about the conversation about lowering the voting age, but also potentially lengthening the term that a parliament sits for. So 3 years is our current term, but people are talking about moving it to 4. And we're also hearing, you know, what would happen if we moved the voting age to 6. What are your thoughts around these things, and do they sit together? Should we be moving towards either of these options?
I think it's interesting because Labor have kind of signalled, and they had signalled in the past term that they were interested in tweaking some of the NNP-related stuff, and then with their sort of cooperation agreement with the Greens, they've kind of said that they're going to look at a lot of these things in more detail, and particularly some kind of reforms to the system. And I think these are two that are capturing the public imagination. I think the lowering the voting age, we recently did a couple of online panels through the New Zealand Political Studies Association with Bronwyn Hayward from Canterbury. And it was just really interesting hearing the different arguments for or against lowering the voting age. I still haven't heard one. I still haven't heard a good reason why 16-year-olds shouldn't be able to vote. And I'm quite happy to argue with people on that one. But at the public at the moment on polls, about 85% of people are against lowering the voting age. So that's one that's kind of really hard to get going. I think people haven't been exposed to the idea much. And I think in order for that group to get change, what they will need is they will need more right-wing people to get behind it. So that issue has a real potential to be owned, so to speak, by the Greens. And the median New Zealand voter will turn around and go, well, the Greens are fronting that because the Greens, the teenagers are going to vote for the Greens. And then that will become owned by the Greens and everyone will go, oh, it's just a Green Party issue. Whereas to get any kind of change in the space, we need to have a referendum where more than 50% of the public vote yes, or we need to get 75% of MPs to change these entrenched provisions. So that's where things need to get to. So that's a huge uphill battle, I think, for the Make It 16 campaign. And, you know, I mean, they've got energy. I'm sure they'll do their best. In terms of the four-year term, I think that most of the polls are showing that the majority of people are in favour. We've had a couple of referendums over the years on this, one in 1967 and one in 1990, where we rejected the idea of a four-year term. But I think we're like one of 9 countries that have the three-year term, and it's just one of those things where there's a lot of arguments on the one hand that we don't have a lot of sort of stops on the system. We don't have, you know, the written constitution, we don't have the second house, so having a 3-year election cycle is needed, so there's that check and balance on the system. But then on the other hand, it feels like we're always campaigning, we've always got an election. So So I think that at the moment the public seems to be on board for that. We saw in the debates that there was cross-party agreement between Collins and Ardern at looking at it, and I think that that's potentially a more realistic system reform in this next term rather than the voting age one.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Lara. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Look forward to having you back in future weeks.
Awesome, thank you.
Thank you, see you later.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with Dr.